And that's the second doctrine. That's the second issue that's really facing us very hard today. And that is the whole idea of independence. The first thing is I tolerate everything and everybody. And I get along with everybody. I have no enemies and everything goes. The second thing is I am independent. I am in need of nothing. Now, these people don't have a prayer meeting. Because if they are in need of nothing, why they should pray? They should not going to ask for anything. And that was a true character of physically of Laodicea. There was an earthquake that hit that city. And when Rome kind of volunteered to give them some help, some aid, to help them building up their city, they were so proud. They said, no, we are in need of nothing. And they rebuilt their own city this way. So the words there, kind of when they heard that message, it became true to their heart because that was their nature. Now, the whole idea is this. If I am become independent, and again, the danger in Colossae was not holding fast the head. I could act without him. I don't need him at all. After all, I am rich. I'm increased with good. Now, we talk about the material wealth, but I want to caution also about the spiritual wealth. And that's where we could say, well, we look at the bookshelf. We have everything. We are in need of nothing. That's all there. As a matter of fact, look around here in the room. There is enough well-taught brethren that could sit and explain the Word of God. We are in need of nothing. And now forget completely the giver and be linked with the gifts. Corinth was the same way. They have no problem. They have all the gifts that any local assembly could have. And look at their miserable condition. Laodicea was the same way. So not only the danger of materialistic thing that could lead to that, but even spirituality that we say, well, we have it all. I don't need to have to do anything. I don't need anybody. I have it all. Keep in mind that this is, again, as we're talking about the school and the education institution, this is the other thing that brings in, that you are sufficient. You don't need anybody else around you. You have everything in you. That brain of yours, if you just unleash it, it will do wonderful and tremendous things. You really don't need a God, because you are a God. And that's what it's really leading to. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very subtle thing. And it appealed to our hearts, because the idea of independence seep in into our mind from the time of the Garden of Eden.
Isn't that there the great challenge? I think you hinted to the point of pride of grace, which can be the worst of the pride. If we take Peter and the Lord Jesus, since the Lord is presented as a faithful and true witness, the Lord is bearing a witness before Pontius Pilate. Pilate asks, what is truth? The truth is in front of you.
Yeah.
Peter comes by, and perhaps he was cold. The place was cold. There was a fire to provide physical warmth. Peter draws near and is asked, you're attached to that man. No, I don't know him. You are one of his followers, not me. And the third time, his speech seemed to confirm that he didn't know the Lord, because those who followed the Lord would not curse and swear. But Peter had expressed the self-confidence, Lord, though all forsake you, not me, I'll die with you. I'll die because of you. But when the test came, Peter was neither cold nor hot. I don't know him. Peter was running for his life when the pressure came. Where do we start? The Lord looked at Peter, and Peter broke down in tears. The letter to Colossae and Laodicea usually humbles me tremendously. Think, a local assembly simply had a letter read to them. The book was not resident among them. Each one did not take home a copy, no printing press. No copy machine. The book was read, And you figure they would remember the teachings of Christ, preeminence, etc., etc. We come to our day of spiritual pride of grace. Brethren, I have Colossians in my hand for many years. We have the entire book. We have Colossians, Thessalonica, and Ephesus, and everything else we have. How is my warmth? How is my happiness for Christ? Is it not the same lukewarmness? At one period of our history, our development as brethren, was there not a great affection, it seemed, for the truth of God's word? And today, you talk to those at the bookshelf. Brethren, the books are available, but they're not being bought and read by the brethren. Read Norris. That the books are available. Darby, Kelly writing, the writing of the brethren. How often do we really read them? Not just by them. And there are brethren who would say that there are groups of believers who are outside the scope of brethren who would buy these books and read them more than we do. And we ask, where are we as we consider the head? Among our brethren company, in some places, we stop having gospel meetings. We talk about prayer and have need of nothing. The prayer meeting night gets combined with a Bible reading night. 20 years ago, Colossae in Philadelphia and Laodicea, 20 years distant. In our childhood, we had gospel meeting, prayer meeting, ministry meeting, Bible reading. In many places today, no gospel meeting. Or they say gospel after the breaking of bread. The Bible reading and prayer meeting or ministry combined for one night. And the question is, so where are we? It is tremendously humbling that with what God has given us, what we have, there is not a corresponding response and fruit and evidence. And they asked if the indictment against Laodicea was so severe. Brethren, with all that God has given me, how is my faithfulness? Am I hot? The Lord looked for a comforter. And I said, if Peter was afraid that he might be beaten or killed and given just what his Lord was given, what's the price tag in our day of neutrality? It might be a matter of ridicule, and I can't afford that. It might be the assertion that I'm too narrow-minded. No, I'm not narrow-minded. I can embrace everybody. What's the price that I'm called upon to pay in relation to perhaps what Peter dreaded he had to pay? Later, he was willing to pay that price. And we believe that the martyr's death. And what makes me a coward today is nothing in comparison, not only with saints of yesterday, but we read of young Christians in Islamic countries, the price that they are willing to pay for their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. We are indeed lukewarm. And the challenges of God help me to hear your voice. If any man hear my voice, let him open the door. That I and we, individually and sometimes as a company, drift so far that we wonder, brethren, where we are going. I become impatient. I become weary of sitting down to hear God's word for any length of time, we are in trouble. Our testimony is in trouble because of this lukewarmness. And it's not so much materialism. Materialism has its impact. There are parts of the world where materialism is not an issue because of poverty. But spiritually, we have claimed so often, brethren have the truth. And when asked, do we really?